did you get to be here?
What was the moment?
How did you get to be here?
What a question. What are the choices we made, the forks in the road we took that add up to a life? It's the question asked at the beginning of the late Stephen Sondheim's musical, Merrily We Roll Along. And the beginning, we soon see, is really the end of the story. Soon we're shot back in time with three best friends to see how they met, how they fell in step, how their paths painfully, excruciatingly diverted. It's a remastered version of Sondheim's 1981 mega flop. It adds three veteran Broadway stars, Daniel Radcliffe, yes, Harry Potter, but also think Equus, How to Succeed in Business, Jonathan Groff, King George in Hamilton, Lindsay Mendez, a Tony for Carousel. Sparkling stars all. They set off like three vaudevillians, arm in arm, one for all and all for one. Well, Daniel Radcliffe and Jonathan Groff play Frank Shepard and Charlie Kringis, a once inseparable composer and lyricist. Lindsay Mendez is Mary, a writer devoted to her friend's success and in painful, unrequited love with one, Groff's Frank. That success turns him into something of a jerk, leaving her drunk and riddled with self-doubt, and Daniel Radcliffe's lyricist feeling betrayed, relationships in tatters. How did we get here? Indeed. Daniel, Jonathan, Lindsay, you there?
Yeah.
We don't know how
so
we got
much.
Here, but yeah.
That was an amazing introduction and summary of the show.
Well, yes. Thank you. That being Daniel, Jonathan, and Lindsay there as well. So, you know, others have said this is the best love story on Broadway right now. And it strikes me it's true because someone in a friendship made in the glory of youth, but then left behind, that's as painful as a broken heart. Jonathan, pick up there. How did you see this?
I have to agree with you. Yeah, there's, as an actor playing love relationships, there's obviously an intimacy and a challenge to finding romantic chemistry. But in some ways, I think it's harder to fake friendship. Mm-hmm. And the three of us from the first day of rehearsal, the love was real. The connection was real. We've now been doing this show on Broadway, I think, for about 5 months. And we're just having the best time.
We heard a little bit of that while you were getting ready to come on. Lindsay, we're now well versed with your toes, which I guess you just had your toes done. I mean, it's a real friendship. I can hear that. And then, Lindsay, you go out and you crush each other's hopes and dreams, particularly you and Jonathan. We've read you've cried after running your scenes. I mean, talk about what happens when you get on stage with this person that now is your friend.
You know, I feel such a closeness with the two of them as my friends offstage. And then we've done so much work in these characters. It's quite easy, honestly, where things are really fractured.
Daniel, the criticism of the first version, part of it was that your characters were played by young people, I think in their teens. And you're all 30s, I think 40, close, or... And do you think, Daniel, that that brings you a better understanding of what would it be like?
I think it certainly helps. I think I certainly wouldn't have been able to tackle this show when I was a teenager or even probably in like my early 20s. Although, to be fair, with this show, I can just sort of look at Jonathan and Lindsay and the rest of our company. I love them so much. To be able to just like look around and feel that and not have to work to feel it is a rare privilege.
I want to ask you about one scene, though. It's the Patter song. Now, this is a scene, it features Daniel, you're Charlie, Jonathan, the composer, you're the lyricist. It's a television interview that, you know, the tensions between the two are just raw, and here you're on live TV. Jonathan's character, Frank's getting increasingly unreliable, Charlie's losing it. Let's listen to some of the Patter song.
And the telephones blink and the stocks get sold and the rest of us he keeps on holding. He's into making movies and he's now a corporation. Right. So I play at home with my wife and kids and I wait to hear the movie bids and I've got a little sailboat and I'm into meditation. Right. He flies off to California. I discuss him with my shrink.
I mean... what's happening?
Sorry, Jonathan just dropped something, but actually, yeah, I moved violently away from the microphone and the headphones when you started playing my voice into it.
He doesn't like to hear him.
If there was a thing you heard happening, that was it.
Because why? It's great. It's a showstopper. And it's also expressing so beautifully this guy who's like We feel we know these characters, the one that's losing it and the one that's calm and suave and doesn't realize the wreckage he's leaving behind him. So tell me what's happening when you're doing this and why you don't want to hear it.
I mean, I just, you know, very few people, I think, like hearing their own voice on tape or anything like that. So I think it just falls under that category. But I love doing that song and I stress out about it a lot before I do it. But while I'm doing it, it's just incredibly fun. You know, you started talking about the show as being about love. And that I do think is how I think of that song, as being a love song. It is somebody who is desperately trying not to lose their friend and handling it in the worst possible way. I think the most interesting arguments in shows or in any kind of narrative are where no one's really wrong. Everyone just wants different things. And I think that is the case for most of this show. I think that there is a take on this show, which is that Frank is a jerk and he makes all the wrong choices. And don't get me wrong, he makes a lot of bad choices. But I do think particularly the disagreement between him and Charlie is really just about Charlie wants a lot more of Frank in his life than Frank is able to give him after a certain point. That's a really beautiful, sad thing. And it's a great song.
That's actually sadder. There are times when friends, you know, one just has to move on because they're drawn to something else.
The fact of life is that we're all changing all the time. It's challenging to allow yourself to change. It's challenging to allow your partner to change or your friend to change. Maria Friedman, our director, directed this production 10 years ago in London. Mark Umbers was playing the role of Frank, and when I heard him say the line, "I've made only one mistake in my life, but I've made it over and over and over," that was saying yes when I meant no. I thought, ooh, I get that. And then I watched the rest of the show and was a bucket of tears. And in preparation for the show, after we had signed on, I was trying to learn the song Our Time, which is the song that the three characters sing at the end on the rooftop when they've first met. I couldn't sing it because I couldn't hear the song without hysterically crying. Just being able to remember now what it felt like when I was 19 years old and moved to New York, and the hope and the dreams and the optimism.
Okay, it's called Our Time. Let's listen.
Years from now, we'll remember and we'll come back by the rooftop and hang a plaque. This is where we began, being what we can.
Guys, I cried so hard.
It still hits us quite a bit every night. When you guys were asking me like why I was laughing last night at the end, it's because the audience was so reactive to you saying, "I just met the girl I ought to marry," that it like broke me.
Oh.
That was what it was.
To remind our listeners, this is at the end of the play because we've gone back in time. Jonathan's character says, "He just met you. I'm going to marry her." But no.
Yeah.
He leaves you.
It was the reaction of the audience just meant how badly that they wanted that.
Mm.
And it was so sad.
Well, let's listen to your character, Mary. Again, she's becomes an alcoholic. She's an enabler, hopelessly still in love with Frank. But even as things are going off the rails, she's going to sing her friend's praises. Let's listen.
Friends, this long has to mean something's strong. So if our old friend's wrong, shouldn't an old friend come through? It's us, old friend. What's to discuss, old friend?
It's such a beautiful, you know, perfectly Broadway song that's going to break our hearts. And the night we saw the play, the original cast was in the audience.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's when they stood up after the performance, took
yeah.
their bows. This is in front of your sold-out audience, and they were part of this musical when it was an historic flop. What was that like for you to look out and see them? Daniel?
I think about all the time the fact that they recorded the cast album the day after they were told that they were closing.
Mm.
And I can't think of a sadder, sort of more traumatic and also more lovely. Not more lovely, but I can imagine there was a certain amount of kind of really incredible camaraderie that happened that might not have otherwise. I actually think of the original Merrily group as like not dissimilar to the group of us that all did Potter. This huge thing that happens to you very, very early on in your life, and how you find your way out of that or how that affects you has a perhaps oversized place in your life than it should. And we've had nothing but very, very lovely experiences with the original cast.
They've been so wonderful to us. And they've expressed that this, while, you know, complicated, is also just like the most joyous thing, because we tell them all the time, like, you guys are why this is happening.
That's Lindsay Mendez, along with Daniel Radcliffe and Jonathan Groff. They're in the repurposed Merrily We Roll Along on Broadway. Daniel, Jonathan, Lindsay, thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin.
Thank you so much,
Robin. That was great.
Here's to us, who's like us, damn few.